Welcome everyone, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be on a listen-only mode for the whole duration of today's conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect this moment. May I introduce your speaker for today, Alex Ravenel. Please go ahead.
Great, thank you. Hi everyone, this is Alex Ravenel with Deloitte, Project Manager for the SROs on the Consolidated Audit Trail. Thanks for joining us. This is the third of our monthly touch points. The SROs feel it's very important to make sure that the industry is being kept abreast of all the developments associated with CAT, and so we do appreciate everyone taking the time out of their day to participate. I do want to point out we'll be taking questions at the end, per usual, for those that have participated in this before. We'll be doing those questions via WebEx. Please send those in as we go through this, and then as we get to the end, we will get through as many of those questions as we can. Go to the next slide, please. All right, so on the agenda for today, we'll start off with a quick overview of CAT for anyone who may be new, maybe hasn't joined these before. We'll spend a couple minutes just sort of level setting in terms of the high-level requirements. We'll talk about where things stand in terms of implementation, and then we'll talk about some of the recent activities that that the SRO has been working on along with thesis, various different interpretive items, tech specs, CISO, a number of related items to that. We'll then spend some time walking through the industry member tech specs. Thesis published an excerpt of the new components of the industry member tech specs just last week. Thesis is joining us on the call today. They'll spend a few minutes walking through some of those changes and what is and is not included in those tech specs. Then we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the clock sync requirements and how folks can continue to stay connected and receive updates as this progresses. So once again, I do want to say thank you to folks for joining. I want to thank all the SROs and thesis who are on the line as well. If we could go to the next slide, I will hand it off to Bruce Goodhue of Box. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. My name is Bruce Goodhue, and I'm with the Box Options Exchange Regulation Department. Considering the slides are a refresher, I'll provide a brief update on the CAT overview for those who may be new to these CAT meetings. This is a requirement that came from Rule 613. The main idea behind the CAT was to have all equity and options order lifecycle data reported into a central repository. It's much larger in depth than what is required in a similar systems like OATS. It includes market maker quotes and orders and provides linkages between representative orders and customer orders. Firms reporting to the CAT will be required to provide a great deal of information, which will include unique identifiers to help link the records in the CAT. In addition, another important element of the CAT is that there are many customer identifying data elements that must be included. This will be very helpful to help regulators identify potential firm activity which may be occurring in the marketplace. Unlike OATS, there will not exemptions from these reporting requirements. As you can see in the bottom of the slide, there is a list of items that will be reportable to the CAT, like modifications, executions, and allocations. And there's also a list of items that include customer account and identifying information like account number, customer name, and address. Those are some of the key elements of the CAT that you need to understand, and you can also go to catnmsplan.com to learn more. With that, we can move to the next slide. Regarding the CAT implementation update, not much has changed since the last meeting we had. As many of you already know, the SROs filed an extension request back on November 13, 2017. You can find that request on the CAT NMS plan website. At this time, the SEC has not approved that request, but we are moving forward and working towards the milestone dates that are in that request. We definitely recognize that not having more clarity around these timelines is not ideal and that there is planning and budgeting that needs to occur by the industry, but we continue to work with the SEC to get additional guidance on milestones and implementation dates. With that being said, you will notice that the slide lays out the milestone dates provided in the request letter. The first key milestone date is in October 2018 when the industry member tech specs are expected to be completed. That will include both order and customer data. The next key milestone date will be in October 2019 when it will be expected that all large industry members will have completed the implementation of the industry member tech specs. From that date, the large industry members would have 6 months to test their systems and their ability to report to the CAT with the goal of submitting data into the production environment by April 13, 2020. A similar timeline falls for the small industry members, but they will have an additional year after the large members start reporting. The small member firms are anticipated to begin testing their systems in October 2020, with the hope of completing that testing in April 2021, and begin submitting data into the production environment on April 21st of 2021. The last two dates on the timeline represent the two dates that the large and small member firms are expected to have reduced their error reporting rates to 1% from the initial 5% requirement. So this will allow both large and small member firms an additional year from when they start reporting to get their error rates down to 1%. And with that, I will pass the presentation over to Ed Dietzel, who will update you on recent SRO activity.
All right, thanks, Bruce. This is Ed Dietzel. So in slide five, we'll focus on three primary areas. The first, the SROs unanimously approved Voss Rajan as the Chief Information Security Officer to CISO Thesis Cat. Voss will start March 1st, 2018, and will be responsible for ensuring the cyber security compliance of the CAT system, as well as evolving and executing the cybersecurity programs as the CAT platform transitions from build to live. Second, draft excerpts of the previously unpublished sections of the member industry technical specs have been published on the CAT MS plan website, with the content outlined as to the sections that are pending the and these are all pending operating committee approval. And the third is the SRO's CAT thesis and advisory committee have published FAQs, and those initial set of FAQs provide interpretive guidance on issues that have been resolved to date on the NMS plan website. And we continue to review the open interpretive items and work through those things. We realize how important it is to the industry to get this feedback, and we will continue to make progress and chip away at things and update the FAQs and publish those on the website as well. Those are the three core areas where we want to provide an update. And on that, I'm going to turn it over to John Shelley.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. This is John Croper, and I'm talking on behalf of the efforts of the PII Working Group. This working group is evaluating alternatives to the creation of the customer and customer account database required by Rule 613. And seeking out alternatives that still meet the goals of CAT of enhancing regulatory and surveillance capabilities. The working group has narrowed the alternatives down to two. Last week, we presented those alternatives to DIFMA, FIF, and STA to solicit input on those alternatives from their members. We expect to get that feedback back in the next 10 days or so, incorporate that feedback into our assessment of the alternatives. Then we will choose between those alternatives, bring our recommendation back to the operating committee, and then seek their approval to take the selected alternative to the SEC for its consideration. And I'll turn it over to Jonathan.
Hi, this is Jonathan Redwine from the NYSE. I'm the chair of the normalization working group, and we've been talking about how data gets reported into the CAT. And a decision that the operating committee recently made was to approve an approach for normalization of industry data. It's going to require fields capturing terms and conditions of an order be populated with standard values, which will be published in a specification to follow. So that's the update on the industry normalization. And so I think I'm over to Shelley.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan. This is Shelley Bolin. I'm with FINRA Market Regulation, and I chair the Interpretive Working Group. And updates from that group include we have, as was previously mentioned, published the first set of FAQs that respond to some of the questions and issues that were raised through industry feedback. The topics include when an NBBO is reportable, whether IOIs are reportable, timestamps related to manual order events, internal routes, and foreign securities. And we are very actively working in this group. As I'm sure everyone is aware, there are a lot of issues to work through. We are meeting twice a week, And as we come to a resolution on each of the issues, we will be publishing FAQs as appropriate and publishing on the website. We are also handing things over, as we discussed last time, to the industry member tech spec working group once an interpretive answer has been determined, then turning it over to the implementation focus group to work through issues there. So that group is meeting every week as well. And when firms look at the FAQs and if there are any questions about anything, they can contact the CAT Help Desk, and the Help Desk will get the question funneled to the SROs, to the Interpretive Working Group, or the appropriate party to address the question. And I'll also, to finish this slide off, just quickly speak on the cost and funding working group. The SROs are continuing their discussions about the fee model, and as we've always stated, are very committed to establishing an equitable fee structure for industry members. And with that, I will turn it over to Jeff Wells to go on to the next slide.
Hi, I'm Jeff Wells from SIBO. I'm the Technical Project Manager, and I'm also the co-chair of the Industry Outreach Group for the CAT Group. What we're looking at now is the website itself, and we have worked with all the other SROs and industry to try and think about how best to present and show the information that's more critical to the industry. And so we've just slightly changed the website and wanted to show you this particular slide, which shows you where the interpretive FAQs are on the website. And it's just a tree off of the main, the top header there. So that's something that we'll all be looking at to see the results of the interpretive questions once the operating committee has agreed to them. And of course, they will in turn flow through to the industry specs, which will ultimately be also approved by the operating committee, and that's when we can look at them for development, or at least the industry can. So if we move on to the next slide, this is the actual slide showing what will the page where you would get the tech specs. Now, previously, you'd have to look deeper into the website to try and find that, and you could certainly do that after 30 seconds or so. But we decided that the tech specs are important enough to have there on the top menu. So you basically click on that, and you can see any tech specs. You can see the participants' tech specs there and the industry tech specs plus the latest excerpt. So we're trying to make it easier for everybody to use. So that was the couple of slides I just wanted to talk about. And now I'm going to hand over to Judy McDonald, who's going to talk about the tech specs themselves.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm Judy McDonald from FIG. I'm a member of the advisory committee and a co-chair with Shelley Bolin of the industry member tech spec working group. So as Alex and Ed stated, the Thesis CAT published the initial version of four new sections focused on operational and procedural aspects. So the submission process, feedback and corrections, testing, and a list of resources for CAT reporters. These are, as Jeff has stated, these are available on the website, and they're available for industry comment. So in addition to these newly published sections, I wanted to assure everybody that Thesis CAT, the participants, and certainly the industry member tech spec working group is working very collaboratively to work through the feedback received from the industry on the initial version of the tech spec that was published in early September. So the industry has raised a number of very important issues, and these need to be carefully considered. Some of these are the trading day definition and order event types, and there are many more that are being carefully considered. So they are important issues. They need to be thoughtfully addressed. We are working hard in these working groups, and it is a work in progress, and when that effort comes to fruition, there will be an updated version of the spec published in the coming months. And then I just like to reiterate, as we stated in the last outreach discussion, that the SROs do recognize a need for adequate implementation time once the tech specs are finalized, and they will continue to work with the SEC on this. And with that, I will hand it over to Todd.
Thank you, Judy. My name is Todd Golub. I'm with EsusCAT. Thank you for that lead-in. I agree, we are trying our best to work collaboratively with everybody, the industry, the SROs, to come to a solid version of the spec and certainly the next draft as we get it out. In the meantime, we have published these excerpts. There are four main sections, as I believe Judy even alluded to, but allow me to repeat. We have the submission format, submission process, feedback and corrections, and then lastly, testing and CAT reporter resources. Just a few of the highlights, you can see what's up on the screen, but if I can just call out a few things, all the files need to be signed, compressed, and encrypted. The encryption part, as you might expect, is very important. We have a lot going on with security. As mentioned earlier, we've hired our CISO starting tomorrow. So it should come as no surprise, certainly, that we're looking to encrypt things in transit and at rest. And therefore, it's obviously very important. Similarly to that, multi-factor authentication will be employed at all stages. As far as file format, JSON and CSV will be accepted. In addition, you'll notice, I believe that this is the first introduction, or this is the introduction of the reporter web portal. There will, in fact, be one for the industry. Users will be able to check the status of their reports as well as perform corrections. And as you can see, there's a few different items on here regarding feedback and corrections, such as the ability to have a repair file being presented. All that said, it's up on the website. We're certainly looking for your feedback and look to incorporate that, of course. Lastly, under reporter resources, you'll see the public website and the help desk, both of which were, I think, mentioned a couple times so far. And as you may or may not be surprised, I'll be bringing up again a little later in this presentation. And with that, I will ask Paul to take it from here.
Great. Thanks, Todd. Hi, everybody. My name is Paul McKinney. I'm with FINRA's Market Regulation Department, and I'm co-chair of the Industry Outreach Committee along with Jeff Wells. I just wanted to speak to you a little bit about clock synchronization certification. There is a new certification date coming in the very near future, so we wanted to make sure that you know, the industry is aware of this. On the slide, you can see we have a reminder on what the definition of a business clock is, and essentially it's any clock used to record the date and time of any reportable event required to be reported under the SEC Rule 613 or the CAT rules. Industry members have to synchronize their business clocks, essentially their electronic business clocks, or those that are not used to capture manual order events, or the time of allocation for allocation reports. So essentially your electronic business clocks have to be synchronized to within a minimum of 50 milliseconds of the NIST time. And then the manual or business clocks that are used solely to record manual order events, those need to be synchronized to within 1 second of the time maintained by the NIST. Firms had to certify this last year, and then the CAT requires an annual certification of these business clocks. So that deadline is coming up rapidly. The next annual certification has to be completed by March 15th of this year. We are looking to get the certification form. We'd like to put that up on the CAT NMS website so that firms can reference that, can download it, and use it for their books and records. I would just want to remind firms that they do not have a requirement to submit this into any of the SROs. They should just keep it on their premises for their own books and records. Additionally, the form is going to have the names of all of the participant SROs. You don't need to complete a separate form for each SRO for which you're a member. You know, a single form checking off each SRO that you're a member would suffice. And then I know we've gotten in the past questions about firms that are using a clearing firm or a service bureau's clocks to record their events and whether or not those individual firms would need to certify. And the answer is yes, they would. They would need to ensure that the service bureau or clearing firm that they are using has the synchronization within that 50 millisecond or 1 second requirement, and then you know, do the certification on behalf of their own firm. So just want to make sure folks were aware of this, and as we get that form together, we will certainly keep the industry posted, you know, through subscriber alerts. With that, I'm going to pass it back to Todd, who's going to talk once more about how to get information on the CAT.
Thank you very much. I told you I'd be back, and here I am talking about the website and help desk. So as mentioned earlier, CAT and Invest Plan has established a couple of means for the industry to get information on developments. As Paul was just mentioning, on the public website, that we have the ability to sign up for the email subscription service. Doing so, you will get CAT and MS plan notifications. What you might expect to get are updates of specifications being posted, FAQs, as was mentioned earlier, regarding the updates to the interpretive FAQs, as well as invitations for the webinars just like this. We strongly encourage you to make use of this subscription service in order to stay best informed. Whenever we post things of material information, we really do try to get that out. So there's really, I guess, we don't send out anything. We don't send out random emails. We don't make use of the list for anything else. It is strictly for the purposes of sending out notifications of postings that take place to CAT and MS Plan. And as you can see from the slide here, the subscribe link is right at the bottom banner menu. I believe it's on all the pages. Next, moving on to the CAT Help Desk. The other means of communicating with us is, in fact, said help desk. Agents can be reached by both phone and email from 9 to 5 on weekdays, answering questions such as those listed here, what you can find on the website and what's there, media relations, the implementation dates as they become more available, and mention the CAT specifications and billing when that becomes, when there's information there, of course, to share. With that, I will hand it back to Alex, and we'll take questions.
All right. Thanks, Todd. So once again, folks, feel free to submit questions via the WebEx. We will do our best to answer them. Recognize may not have the answers folks want to hear in all cases, but we will do our best to get through them. We do have a few questions that have already come in, so we'll start going through those here right now. The first question, if a broker executes a trade for the clients of an affiliated U.S. advisor, can the broker treat the advisor as its customer, or does it need to look through and report the allocations to the advisor's customers? I guess the short answer probably is it depends, and in some cases that probably is going to depend on the customer data spec, which is not due out until May 15th, and may have some impact due to the PII changes that I know John discussed a little while ago. Shelley, John, anything you guys would add to that?
Just to point out that you're exactly right, Alex, on the customer and account database, but on the order side, there's the firm designated ID that would have to be reported, and yes, the sub-account allocations would have to be reported. So you would report the original receipt from the advisor, and then when the advisor gave the sub-account allocation instructions with the individual customers, you would report those as well as allocations.
Thank you, Shelley. Next question, are the dates stated for equity and options reporting simultaneously, or equities first and then options? So the way it's structured right now, equities and options will be reported together. There's no staged implementation under CAT, at least on an asset class basis. All right, next question. When can we expect to hear something official from the SEC regarding timelines for the exemptive relief request and what a new timeline for the broker-dealers may be? Related, is there any idea when the SROs are going live?
And also related, how can the SROs and presumably by extension the broker-dealers be comfortable operating in a regulatory limbo like this? Mike Simon, I think you're on the line. This one might be right up your alley as chair of the operating committee. You want to take a swing at that one?
Sure. Thank you very much, Alex. There is no change from the last two or three of these calls that we have. November 13th, the SRO submitted a request for exemptive relief. The SEC has not acted on it. At this point, we do not expect the SEC to act on it anytime soon or perhaps at all. The dates in there are the dates that we're working towards. The SROs are working towards a mid-November 2018 date for reporting. The dates for the participants to report are in the slide that you saw earlier on the implementation update. The only way I see things changing and there being some movement in the exemptive area is one of two things. One, if the SROs are able to come in with a significantly reduced time frame for any of these dates, the SEC has indicated they may be willing to consider an exemptive relief. Or if these dates begin to slip and we have to go back to the SEC, we'll reopen the discussion with them. As to how the SROs or the broker-dealers can feel comfortable in this, it is a difficult environment. It is somewhat unique. So as long as we're continuing to operate in good faith and working with Thesis and working with the commission, who has sort of embedded themselves, the staff, in most of our conversations, we think we're making progress and we think that we should be okay. But the SEC has provided absolutely no guarantees to the SROs regarding their comfort level with the project at this point.
All right. Thanks, Mike. So question about the next version of the tech specs, what updates are targeted for the April 15th tech spec? The short answer is as much as possible. The interpretive working group that Shelley and Judy are part of has been working furiously on trying to churn through that list. I think they have four meetings a week at this point. Working through that. So the expectation is that for the next version of the specs, we will begin to have resolution on some of those interpretive items such that the specs can be updated accordingly. I'm certainly not going to promise that they will all be resolved by then. I think that's probably a fair guess that they won't be, but we're going to get through as much as we can and get as much as we can into that spec. Shelley, anything you would add to that, or Judy for that matter?
No, I think that you stated it very well, Alex.
All right, we've got a question here. When is the option spec expected? So I think this is probably related to the previous question. Right now, CAT treats, from an implementation perspective, equity and options the same from a go-live perspective. There is not a separate spec for options. Options are included in the existing technical specifications and will continue to be going forward. So certainly folks should make sure they're looking at that from both an equity and options perspective. All right, we've got a ClockSync question here. If an industry member or its service bureau has already certified for ClockSync with FINRA in 2017, does it have to recertify this in 2018 as well? Paul, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure. Yes, the short answer is yes, they would need to recertify for the purposes of the CAT rules. And then, as I stated during the presentation, it is an annual certification. So that certification would have to occur each and every year.
Excellent. And there's a related question about ClockSync. Where can we find the ClockSync document on the website? It's not there right now. We would expect it to be there in the next couple of weeks. The SROs are doing final editing and approvals on that document. But if folks do subscribe via the functionality that Todd mentioned a few minutes ago, you can put in your email address. When it does go up, you'll get an email notification and you'll be able to go straight to it. We've got another question around the tech specs and timing. Given the volume of issues and comments with the member spec and the pace of resolving them, is completion by October realistic? I think it is not going to be without its challenges, but I don't see any reason why October is not doable. Certainly, for this thing to stay on track, getting resolution on material and all of them by October, I think, has to happen, frankly. for these timelines to remain even close to what they are today. And Shelley, again, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
No, again, I think you said it very well. It is absolutely our goal to make it happen by October, but there are a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Okay, there's another allocations question. Relating to client allocations, many systems do not link the block order in firm facilitation accounts to the individual client allocations. Thought we'd receive exemptive relief on this. The exemptive relief is specifically tying the original orders back to the individual allocations that come out of that. It's not any broader than that. Certainly firms still do need to report those allocations, but they are not required to be linked directly to the original parent orders. Okay, there's a question on the fee structure here. The operating committee withdrew a proposed amendment regarding CAF fees. How does it impact the implementation plans as well as the original fee plan proposal? Is there an updated timeline? I don't think it impacts the implementation plan. The SROs are still charging full speed ahead on the implementation plan, as is thesis. So no impact there. In terms of how it impacts the fee plan proposal and what timelines will be, I am not, frankly, going to try to guess what the SEC may or may not do regarding any future filings or timelines associated with them. Certainly, the SROs want to give as much certainty as possible to the industry as quickly as possible and are working diligently on that, but I certainly am not going to try to predict what the SEC may or may not do. All right, we got another clock sync question here. Paul, maybe we'll tee you up for, are firms required to review clock sync logs on a regular basis? What about clock drift? Is there guidance on clock drift remediation for CAT? Paul, you want to try to take that one as well?
Yes, yeah, sure. Yeah, I think that the, you know, once the CAT is operational, certainly the expectation is that firms should be monitoring their clock drift. We will be, when there is a drift, there will be a procedure laid out by which firms would be able to notify the CAT that they're having such a drift. That process has not yet been laid out. We suspect that would be laid out closer to when firms actually start reporting into the system.
Thanks, Paul. We've got a couple related questions about a timelines for a testing environment for the industry. When does thesis plan to have a testing environment ready for the industry? And if the state hasn't moved, is that still going to be June, July of this year? The SROs are certainly not expecting that the industry is going to be reporting in 2018, November of this year. We're not planning that there will be an industry test environment available in the next couple of months here. Once better timing is known on all of these related sort of timing questions, the industry will be the first to know. Mike, Simon, anything you would add to that just from a timing perspective?
No, I think you got it, Alex.
Looking through the rest of the questions here. I believe most of the rest of these questions have already been answered in some form or fashion. Here's one. There's a question. Is the group aware of FIS alternate implementation approach proposal that it's planning to review with the SEC? Have heard that it exists. FIS has not yet shared it with the SROs. Hopefully, once they do so, the SROs will have a chance to look at it and opine at that point. All right. I believe that takes us to the end here. I do want to say again, thank you everyone for your time. Very much appreciate it. As I noted at the start, this is a monthly occurrence. We'll be having another one towards the end of March. We'll keep everyone posted as that progresses. Thank you once again. Per usual, we will post both this slide deck as well as an audio recording up on the website in the next few days. So do keep your eye out for that. And once again, thank you for your time, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
And that concludes today's conference. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.